Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Today's podcast is titled, Bond Bubbles Won't Pop Silently. Central banks are incapable of saving economies or creating growth. The only thing a central bank can do is create inflation. These market manipulators set forth on a journey 7 years ago to save the world by engaging in massive monetary manipulation, euphemistically called quantitative easing, and a zero interest rate policy known as ZIRP. As I could have told them, all this easy money failed to create real growth. The economy, held back by massive debt levels, initially clocked in at 0.2% for the first quarter. This number is set to be revised down to negative territory due to a huge increase in the trade deficit during March. And the second half isn't setting up to be much better either. But the Fed was successful in reinflating the housing and equity bubbles and also creating another new massive bubble in the bond market. Despite tepid growth and absolutely anemic and slow growth, most at the Fed have become anxious to wave the mission accomplished banner and to move towards interest rate normalization. Ceremoniously, they have set goals for the economy to reach in order to begin that long journey. Unemployment around 5% and inflation at 2%. As the Fed's luck would have it, discouraged would-be workers have dropped out of the labor force, which has allowed the unemployment rate to reach the Fed's target. The unemployment rate has finally returned to the 2008 bubble level of 5.4%. But when we look more closely, employment as a percentage of the population is nowhere near historical levels. As a matter of fact, the employment to population ratio was 63%, north of 63% before the Great Recession, and now is barely 59%. But those at the Fed stand determined to never let real data points get in the way of the narrative that printing money saved the economy. In fact, San Francisco Fed President John Williams was recently touting a new way to calculate GDP that he called GDP Plus. Plus what? Who the hell knows? But he calls it GDP Plus. It appears when you take out everything he defines as noise, first quarter GDP would have come in at exactly 1.7% according to his calculations. Perhaps a better term would be GDP minus. GDP minus all the things we wish didn't happen in the economy this quarter. Now, the only thing hampering the Fed's path to rate normalization is the too low rate of inflation. The inflation resulting from unprecedented money printing and years of ZIRP that caused massive stock, bond, and real estate bubbles doesn't count in the government's inflation indices. Nevertheless, the official core CPI number used to measure inflation appears at the moment to be just right. And for a brief moment, if we dismiss those asset bubbles, ignore discouraged workers, cherry-pick economic data points, and squint a little, we can be deluded into believing the economy has reached Goldilocks Nirvana, or even Goldilocks Nirvana Plus. But before Goldilocks reaches for her porridge, she may want to pay closer attention to what the bond market is telling us. Normally, interest rates are a product of credit and inflation risks. Until a few weeks ago, central banks got away with the notion they could monetize unlimited amounts of sovereign debt without creating inflation. That is until now. Sovereign yields in the past month in Italy, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, all over Europe, and even in the United States, have risen pretty dramatically. For the past 6 years, investors didn't have to worry about credit risk because central banks were ready buyers, regardless of a nation's insolvent condition, as long as inflation was thought to remain quiescent. But here's a newsflash. Investors won't own sovereign debt if real interest rates plunge much further into negative territory. And investors won't accept negative real and nominal yields on fixed income if they can instead own precious metals, commodities, real estate, or any other hard asset. There is also a lack of liquidity in bond markets because central banks have removed all the supply. Investors don't want to buy new debt with negligible yields, but also don't want to sell if central banks are providing a perpetual bid. Therefore, there is no trading outside of institutional front-running the central banks. Again, as long as there's no inflation. But here's the rub. Once inflation becomes a problem, central banks will then become sellers instead of buyers of bonds. And principal depreciation will quickly erase the paltry yield away. And here is where it gets interesting. The headline CPI is down 0.1% year over year in March, but the core rate of CPI is up 1.8%, coming very close to triggering the Fed's return to normalization target. A steep decline in the price of oil that began in the summer of 2014 has dragged the overall CPI number down. But gas prices have risen over 30% since the January lows, and the effect of the energy price collapse on the headline number starts to diminish in July and is completely erased by the end of the year. Therefore, very soon the Fed should be confronted with all the data points it previously mapped out in order to start raising rates. But perhaps the central bank should be careful about what it wishes for. This is because 7 years of interest rate suppression has created a powerful vacuum that could suck higher long-term interest rates in accelerated fashion. On the other hand, despite years of QE and ZERP, the economy is still scraping along the bottom. When the Fed eventually raises the cost of money, it will bring this bubble-addicted economy to its knees, as it provides the pin to the bubbles in real estate and equities. The growth rate in broad money supply, M3, has been falling from 9% in 2013 to just 3% today. Therefore, when short-term interest rates rise, it is also very possible that the yield curve will invert and cause money supply growth to turn sharply negative, just as it did during the Great Recession. Data maturities would then have to discount even slower growth ahead, and the yield curve would quickly invert from its already compressed starting point. As aforementioned, if I'm wrong about the yield curve flattening after the Fed starts hiking rates, it will only be the result of the market losing complete confidence in the U.S. tax base to service Treasury debt and for global central banks to keep inflation in check. This will lead to an intractable rise in U.S. long-term rates and would soon become a complete disaster for markets and economies worldwide. Whether long-term interest rates rise or fall when the Fed begins its exit is still in doubt. It's very confusing. The only sure thing is that chaos will soon follow. Such is the inevitable result of the massive and historic intervention of the Fed into our sovereign debt market. In other words, another way to look at this is bubbles never pop with impunity, and the international bond bubble is certainly not going to be the exception. Interest rates may rise, interest rates may fall. It could be because they're rising because of inflation or a lack of confidence in central banks to generate growth. Yield curves could flatten and invert because of the slow growth of the economy and the inability to create escape velocity. Therefore, I will tell you one thing. No matter what happens to interest rates in the future, you can be sure of one thing. And unfortunately, it's this. That the suffering will be immense. And now I'm going to quickly turn to my proprietary comments for my podcast subscribers. Last week I warned about a market correction. Now, the stock market is pretty much unchanged from where I made that prediction last week. But here's what you got to know. Bond yields are continuing to rise. The U.S. 10-year hit 2.31%. 2 days ago, it's at 2.28% as of this recording. Bond yields are still spiking over in Europe. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I am not God. I don't know what's going to happen. I will tell you this. Here's the facts. Long-term rates are rising. There is no growth in the world. Chinese growth is second derivative of that growth rate is falling sharply. Japan is not growing. Europe is not growing. U.S. has actually a lower GDP run rate than Europe. And second quarter GDP, the April data that's coming in, is stinko. Retail sales for April, flat, zero, up 0.0%. Now, while the PPS portfolio is up slightly again today and doing better than the Dow for 2015, it's doing so with half of the risk because we're in about 50% cash. So if I could beat the market, provide some kind of protection with gold and take some hits with Russia and take some chances here and there, but keep you in a lot of cash, keep you up with the stock market, but protect your principal and also have that dry powder for this crash, for the correction, which is way overdue, way overdue. This is the way to go. Because I'll tell you this, again, if bond yields continue this trajectory, you will see a huge correction in the stock market. And you must be prepared for that. And if that doesn't occur, it's still very advisable to hold huge, huge levels of cash and continue hitting singles and doubles in the portfolio in a very cautious, principal-protective manner. Because once the Fed starts down the road to interest rate normalization, either yields will spike on the long end, or the yield curve, by definition, will have to invert just as it did in 2008. Maybe not right away, but certainly down the road. And when that happens, you damn well better be prepared because the stock market is at record highs. It sits on top, no growth. There's record amount of debt in the world, record amount of margin in equities, in exchanges. And you better be wide awake or you will lose any ability that you have to enjoy your retirement.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.